Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The After Party. This is a fun episode because instead of an after party, we are having a pregame party.
tailgating the sermon every Sunday 2 days early.
We're just recording this a couple days before the sermon. So I hope you enjoy it. We are here again. I'm Jeff, your host, and I'm with Amy Chaney.
Hey.
Who is set to give the sermon in 2 days. So we're going to talk about what she's going to talk about. And you probably... We won't release this till after the sermon is released, but if there's any inconsistencies, that's why.
I'll try not to make sweeping changes to the message between now and then, but no promises.
But if God moves, he's going to move, and that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, Amy, can you give us a 60-second or less summary of what you think you're going to talk about?
Well, what I think I will address
what you
is
think you will have said.
We're kicking off a brand new series this week, and I am pumped about the series. It's called The Critical Journey. And the heartbeat behind the series is that we each have a story in which we are a hero, and so is Jesus. And it's the story of how Jesus encounters us and comes into our life and transforms it over and over and over again throughout our walk with him, throughout our faith journey. And so we're going to look at like what those moments of transformation look like in different people's lives, the different stages of their life. And we're basically going to just hover around this idea of transformation. And so this week, talking a little bit about that, and I am comparing two wealthy guys in the Bible, both who have an encounter with Jesus, a literal and physical one, where they meet him, but they respond in really different ways. So we're looking at Zacchaeus and this other guy who has no name. He's just called a rich young ruler. And so these are two men who meet Jesus and have to make a choice about how or if they're going to follow him and what that looks like. And Zacchaeus is kind of transformed immediately, and he picks up grace and he puts it on as his new truth. But this rich young ruler doesn't. He gets very sad, actually, when he discovers that he has to give up some of the things that he loves most on earth in order to be able to follow Jesus. And it actually says he's devastated and quite sad, whereas Zacchaeus is full of joy. And Zacchaeus gives up a lot, and the rich young ruler doesn't. And Zacchaeus is happy, and the rich young ruler isn't. And we just kind of look at the difference of what happens when you actually pick up grace, when it's given to you, and what grace is. And it's just the beginning. We're just scratching the surface of what it looks like to be transformed by Jesus, which I believe happens repeatedly throughout your life. It's not just one transformation and then you're done, but I wake up every day and Jesus has to transform who I am every day.
Amen.
That was more than 60 seconds.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It was thorough, and that's appreciated.
Cool.
So you're talking about stories. We're talking about the different parts of people's stories and their walks with Jesus. Today we're talking about the initial parts of our stories, but something that you talk about is that everyone's story can be characterized by certain words. Just looking at the notes, like moments of encounter, of change, of wonder. Maybe that's not the part of the notes I'm looking at. But
we do talk about words. You're right.
So there are words.
Yeah.
Do you have any words that you would use to characterize your story, your walk with Jesus?
Yes. I can think of a lot of them. Grace is one of them. Grace is a word I'm pointing everyone towards. I think grace is probably part of everybody's story. It comes to mind first for me because I feel a very deep awareness of how little I deserve the goodness that God has provided me in my life. I was just like a nightmare of a teenager, just a total nightmare. And part of that was because I was mentally and emotionally unhealthy. I just had lots of struggles in that area in my life when I was young. Still do, but I've learned to manage them better. And that was sort of like the period of time in my life where I deconstructed and sort of like pushed God away and tried to do things in my own strength, which I just could not do. And it led me to be rebellious, to make really poor decisions, to basically do all of the things that I now feel regret over, except that I've been able to release that as an adult. And so much of my mental and emotional unhealth at when I was younger in that time in my life, I think was wrapped up in feeling like I was unworthy of what God actually had to give me, and actually coming around to not deciding, yeah, hey, I'm worthy, but deciding, yeah, I'm unworthy, but God is that good, and allowing that to just sort of hit my heart. That's a transforming moment of grace. That's accepting something you don't deserve.
Sure.
So grace definitely is probably like the word that sums it all up. But I would argue that it probably sums up most people's stories. So I don't think it's original necessarily. And I'm I like being original. So
sure. Do you have an original word then?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, art, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think God has used art in my life to point me in directions. It's like his secret language he uses with me. So that has played a part. So I don't think that art is like the word for my story, but it's the language that God speaks to me in a lot of ways, which now I sound like I'm up in the clouds a little bit. But
that's okay. We all connect with Jesus in different ways. We encounter Jesus in different ways. And that's what this series should be about.
Yeah, it is. It is about that. And I'm really pumped because this series, in like the video that plays, you know, like when the preacher is jumping up on stage and getting, there's always like
our inside term for that is bumper.
Yes. We call it bumper videos, but I don't know if other people know that that's what we call it. But in our bumper videos preceding the sermon each week, we're going to be sharing little 60-second documentaries, these stories told by just people in our community, people that are our brothers and sisters here at Harbor, and moments that Jesus has transformed their life. And the diversity in those stories is really cool. And I am really excited to start getting into the habit of sharing the stories of people around us, because there's some good stories.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen some of them and they're incredible already, even in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is great. And so you shared your story a little bit, or you're going to share your story, about how you grew up knowing Jesus, or knowing about Jesus, but not really knowing Jesus. And I think that painted a really good picture of what a lot of people who grew up in the church experienced and didn't encounter him till later. But like we're saying, every story is unique. Every story is different. Not everyone has the same experience with Jesus.
Right.
Not the same encounter, not the same upbringing. So like, what about people who have had different stories? Like, how can people encounter Jesus?
I think there are infinite ways for people to encounter Jesus, and that's like the whole point. I think that there is no human experience that like outwits Jesus.
Sure.
And he's capable of meeting people literally anywhere they wind up, anywhere they run to, anywhere they find themselves by chance, whether it's in a church, outside of a church, really, really far away from a church, no matter how long or how short someone's life is, that Jesus can't be, you can't hide, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that, I mean, in my years of working with people in churches, there is this like temptation that you hear from people to kind of like glorify the dramatic story of conversion, you know, like I was at rock bottom in jail and Jesus met me there and I was transformed and I became a new person. And those stories are beautiful and they're so worth celebrating. And that is the story of so many people in our community and around us. And it's great. It's also not the only way Jesus transforms. And so I've met people who've just simply grown up going to church, who were baptized when they were 8. My husband was baptized when he was 8 years old or 9 years old or something. And not knowing Jesus was just like never a part of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's also really beautiful. And really incredible and something worth celebrating, the longevity of that relationship. And so the party in heaven's the same size. Like it's just mm-hmm. as ridiculous. and if you think of like streamers and confetti and, you know, confetti with glitter that you're not afraid of sticking around forever and like,
well, wouldn't it stick around forever then?
If yeah, we're in eternity? I guess I'm a glitter hater, so yeah. I don't know. Glitter makes me squirmy, but, but like the party that is thrown in heaven for you when you are transformed by Jesus mm-hmm. is just as big no matter where you're met. So that's important to remember. If you're sitting there today, if you're sitting where you are today thinking, well, my story is just not like a bestseller.
Yeah. That's the phrase that we hear a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a cool story.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Just the fact that Jesus pursued you enough to bring you mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. a basement, you know, sorry, our church is in a basement. Yeah. Like, just in case you're listening to this and don't come to Harbor, that's what that meant, because otherwise that sounded really creepy.
Church basement.
we're in a basement of a mill building mm-hmm. and it's super cool and beautiful and safe, mm-hmm. but I didn't make it sound that way just now.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I hear people all the time like, well, I don't have like a moment when God transformed my life. Yes, you do. It just mm-hmm. might have been subtle. It might have been in a dream. It mm-hmm. might have been through another person. Mm-hmm.
Or one small conversation that sparked a trajectory in a new direction.
Yes. Yeah. It isn't always like I was, you know, dead and then I was brought back to life mm-hmm. miraculously, although that happens too. And it's also incredible. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, just pay attention to your story, whatever it is, because God wrote it and he doesn't write bad stories. Mm-hmm. God writes good stories only, and yours is one of them. So
your story is a bestseller.
Yeah.
Don't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
Hey, party people. I am interrupting our podcast right now to let you know how much we appreciate you and how much we appreciate all of your support. We can't do what we do without you. This podcast is an important part of our mission at Harbor in helping people find their way back to God. So if you are not already supporting Harbor and would like to be part of our mission, we would greatly appreciate if you would consider supporting us financially so that we can keep making this podcast and you can be part of the work God is doing through Harbor of Hope Church. If you want to contribute to our mission, you can give online at harborofhope.org/give. Again, that's harborofhope.org/give. Now, back to the party. So that's what the series is about, and I'm super excited to get into it. I'm super excited to start off with the very beginning. And so I don't know if we've addressed this yet, but we're going through different stages that people can go through in their spiritual journey. And if we're reemphasizing this too much, I apologize. But
that's okay.
So my question is it a linear path that this week we are stage one, the next week we're stage two, and then our aim is to get to stage five?
Yeah. Well, this is actually the perfect podcast topic, because this whole series was inspired by a book literally called The Critical Journey.
How fitting.
Yeah. It is by one of my theological heroes, mm-hmm. Janet Hagberg, who, if you're listening to this, I love you, and I would love for you to mentor me, mm-hmm. Janet. it'd be amazing if I got an email
from her.
That would
be really cool.
Then this would all be worth it.
It'll show the breadth of our podcast, too.
This is a book that, it was a textbook in a seminary class, and so it's not exactly like a, you know, you don't sit down like on the beach and read this book. This is a textbook for spiritual development. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're on spring break in seminary.
Yes. This is the kind of thing I read in spring break, but I just don't pretend that other people are as nerdy as I am. But what it is a sort of circular model for how people grow into mature believers. Mm-hmm. And it starts out with just simple recognition of God. You just become aware that there's this thing out there that's bigger than you. And then you start digging into this life of discipleship. You become productive for God. You have this sort of inward journey where you start to deconstruct a little bit and you hit a wall. This is my favorite week, is the wall, which I'm preaching on in 2 weeks.
If we don't open that with Pink Floyd, I'll be very disappointed.
Oh, the wall. That's like strongholds, the things that hold you back, the big obstacles in your faith life. When you finally get to the other side of the wall, you have this sort of outward journey, and then you eventually, like the ultimate destination in the life of anyone who follows Jesus, is a life completely separate from yourself, where you live unaware of your own needs. You live fully connected to God and completely for the sake of others. And that sort of separation from yourself is only achievable in old age, after a life of a lot of work that many of us, even diligent believers, don't ever reach. And that's not meant to be fatalistic. That's just the destination. And it's something that, I mean, as someone in my mid-30s, I'm not there yet. I still have connections to myself. I still have strongholds and walls that I need to break through. We're all kind of in process in that way, but we can look around in our community and we can see a few people among us every Sunday who really do live a life that's basically free of themselves.
Right.
And it's incredible. You asked, I went on a tangent.
That's okay.
Your question was, is this linear? No, I mean, her model is like a cycle, which like you can kind of swing. You know, you wind up at stage four, which is this like inward journey approaching the wall, but you can kind of slip back into just being productive, which is, you know, like you can imagine kind of an average, like if I were to average all of the people in our community together and get like a mannequin version of like a person that would come to Harbor, right? They attend a service, you know, you're crying every Sunday because the preacher is preaching right to you. I'm sure some of you are laughing in the car right now because you've experienced that. And every week it's like, oh, you know, they were like speaking right to me. It's exactly what I needed to hear. You weep, you feel moved, you jump right into serving and getting into a small group, and you become like the most champion Kids Harbor volunteer ever. And it's amazing and it's great. And then it eventually gets boring. Or you miss a week because you're sick and you're like, oh, it actually felt kind of nice to have my Sunday back. Then you start coming and you're not crying on Sunday anymore. And you're like, I'm bored. Do I even believe anything? Did this really change my life? The answer to that question is yes, it did change your life.
Yeah.
You're just approaching a new stage in what you have to, which is this sort of like deeper understanding of faith, which you have to make a choice to step into. And so you step into that, and then you make some major gains in how you understand theology, how you really understand how God works, how you see him in your life, and kind of progress. But you could at any point become exhausted by that sort of like endeavor and slide back into just showing up to serve every week because you're on the schedule. And I think that's so many of our stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Where... And that doesn't mean stop showing up. We need you. We definitely need you to come when you're scheduled to serve. But it is normal. The encouragement here is that is normal. It is normal to be spiritually on fire for a while and weeping on Sundays and feeling like God's speaking to you and having dreams and being ready to pray every morning, and then also normal to have seasons where you're like, the only reason I'm here is because I'm on the schedule to serve, and worry about that. You should pay attention to that. It's usually a signal that you're ready to take a step forward, not backward.
Right.
But unfortunately, a lot of people take a step backward.
Yeah.
So it's not linear, but it is sequential. It just is in motion all the time, which is what makes it exciting.
Well, it's life. Life is fluid. It does fluctuate. And we have every obstacle we come across, every time we reach a new phase, the end of one, beginning of another, we have a choice to accept it and take the challenge of moving forward, or we can move back. And we were talking about this earlier of like, if you come, and this might fall into some conversation about the wall ahead of time, but like if we encounter a difficulty, we can choose to embrace it and understand the complexity and move forward in it, or we can choose to reject the
everything.
Whole thing. Everything.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that, that we can, we have a choice to move forward or backwards, or, and we do move backwards even if we don't choose it on purpose.
Yeah.
But that it is cyclical and it fluctuates.
Yeah. And I mean, throughout this sermon series, this is inspired by her model of discipleship, but we're not like preaching the model of discipleship necessarily. Right. It's merely just where our inspiration came from, which is just kind of neat to share with people. And we stole the name because the name's great, but we're speaking mostly like, no matter where you are, it's not like week one is only for people who are new to faith. Week one is about Jesus appearing in our life and whether or not we pay attention and accept him. And that happens at every stage of the journey. So that happens to me often still. And I do not feel like I'm in stage one necessarily. Right. Although there are days where I, like hard days when you get bad news. Like when I went through a really tough year a couple years ago, there were days where I was like, I'm not sure if I believe this anymore because this
certainly
isn't how I thought it was supposed to feel. And that is an indication usually when those doubts pop up. They're, those are not reasons to step backwards. They're reasons to step forward. But I continue to experience like these, we'll call them revelations, where God just appears in other people, in the way coincidences line up in my day or in my week or in my year. And it's provision or it's mercy. You know, it's me getting away with not having to deal with a pain that I otherwise could have had to deal with. Or God providing something before I knew I needed it. And it's whether or not I choose to like pick that up as God or not is basically what we're talking about this week. And that happens at every stage of the journey. And, you know, these strongholds, these the wall conversation we'll have in a few weeks, that also happens constantly. Like, it's not like there's one wall and then once you've cleared it, you're good. Like, you wind up on that backside of the wall all the time and you have to continue to break through. So I think that this isn't like, lest we, you know, I think we could look at this and think that we're kind of marching through like an ideal scenario of how one actually develops in their faith. But it, there is no ideal scenario except the one that you're in. And you are wherever you are right now, exactly where you're supposed to be. And the only thing you need to do is step forward and look for Jesus, and he'll transform you. So,
dang, that's a closer right there.
I didn't even mean that.
No, it's all right. That was great. It'll preach.
Hopefully. Yeah. We'll see. So,
by the time you listen to this, we'll know. So, that is a great understanding of the series and what we're talking about. Yeah. And I love that it's incorporating this first stage into all of it. So, thank you for all that. I do want to ask one hard question about your message today.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about the two rich men.
Yeah.
There are different responses to Jesus.
Yeah.
To encountering Jesus and a response with their money. My question is, does Jesus want us to give up our possessions?
Maybe.
Cool. See you later.
See you next week, Harbor. I say maybe because certainly scripture, the scripture I share in this week's sermon talks about, you know, basically Jesus saying, sell all your things and whoever loves their wife and children and brother and anybody over me, you know, is can't ever make their way to heaven. I mean, it's pretty dramatic the way he describes this. And this is one of those passages where you could very easily kind of write off faith in general because it just sounds so preposterous, because it does. And it is, until you think about how it's not that Jesus is saying, everybody go home and sell your house today. But he is saying, maybe to a few of you, you're holding on to a home and holding on to that home instead of caring for this other person over here who's ill. And if you didn't have that mortgage payment, you'd be able to actually help this other person. I don't know. I'm crafting some sort of a story in my head. But there are situations where we hold on to things and possessions or even people and relationships in lieu of actually living a full life. When I was pregnant with my first child, with Charlotte, someone told me, I did not take it well at the time, but I now understand what they were trying to say. Someone told me, you know, this child is not yours. This child belongs to God. And like I said, I did not enjoy that comment at the time. I may or may not have cried because that felt very aggressive. But what that very helpful and wise person was saying is, your identity is not wrapped up in this kid. This child belongs to God first. God loves this child more than you love this child. And if that feels offensive, good. Because he really does love your kids more than you love your kids.
Wow. Think about that. Yeah.
And, you know, when we obsess over our children, we can hurt them, actually. Whereas when you release them to God and just realize, well, God is the one holding all this together, and you release that, love them still, but without this ownership sort of thing all over it, that actually allows you to have a fuller relationship with your kids, which is what Jesus means. Like, if he's not saying hate your children, like in an abusive way, he's saying your children are mine.
Let
me love them.
Yeah. Give everything up to God. Don't let everything get in the way.
Don't let a single thing get in the way, and everyone will live fuller for that reason. So it's true. So yes, he is saying all of the things he's saying, but not in an overly literal. It's literal and metaphoric at the same time.
So it's not a direct command to all people to give up everything
right
now. Right.
Right. But when we, when our lives turn into things that serve stuff or serve people, in a way that is unhelpful, not in a sacrificial way, but in a, like, in a unhealthy kind of obsessive or compulsive sort of way, then we're not leaving space to love God.
Right.
So he's basically just saying, don't let anything get in the way of our connection with our Father in heaven, our Creator. And when that is in charge of everything, everything flourishes. As soon as there's something that gets in the way, everything suffers. So whatever it is that you need to give up in order to restore that connection to God is what you need to give up. And that's a good Lenten message, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's hard.
It's super hard.
Good, good Lent.
But when you do it, it actually frees you. Frees you. So what could you give up that would actually make you feel free, even though it's wicked hard to give up? It's worth thinking about.
Yes.
Whether or not you do it, I'm not like sending everybody out on a, I don't know,
give
today.
It a shot. Give it a shot, though. But it is a good challenge.
Think about it, Or ask God to reveal it to you. And it might be hard to hear, but it could be the best thing he ever tells you. So,
Beautiful. Do you have anything else? Cutting room floor? Anything else that
not
you want to leave
people
with?
Not yet. I'm not finished cutting. I'm not finished cutting content.
So. Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm excited for Sunday. It's going to be a really fun series. So come and we'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll release
this. You will have
this.
Already seen us.
This is awkward.
Yeah.
This timing's funny. This is weird.
For us. It won't be funny to the listener.
Well, only that we keep talking about how weird it is. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Ugh. We're dorks.
That's all right.
Just love us anyway.
Well, you heard it here. Love us anyway.
Love us anyway. We love you, Harbor.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.